Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. The Eagles playing Melbourne, a return of the horror show. The key, Eagles over four quarters. Little Gaz shining in a new half-forward role, but should he be playing this week? The key to Freo beating Essendon, is it Anthony McDonald, Tippin Woody, and have North finally turned the corner?
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. With me in the studio, Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times newspaper. I am Mark Duffield, the football writer of the West Australian newspaper. Glenn.
Duff, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Are you confident about tipping us a few winners this week?
I am. I think we're at the stage now where there's a game or two in there that I was hesitant, but I think we'll start tipping a few more winners than losers now, I think.
Now, we would like to think that the review of last week's matches has been and gone and we can move on to round nine.
Is still shaking, Duff. It's still shaking. I can't believe it's still shaking.
So let's bring our listeners up to date as to what has happened with the Dane Rampey saga and how Essendon are reacting to it.
I'll give you my take on it, Duff. So Sydney's appealed both the fines for Rampey for his disparaging comments about the umpire and also his shaking the post. And Essendon has also asked the AFL for a please explain. So my take on it is, really, Sydney should just shut up and get on with it because you dodged a bullet and you got the 4 points. I think Essendon just looks bad for not doing anything, so they've asked for a written explanation so they can be seen to have done something. And I think the AFL would just be happy for everything to go away because it made a complete hash of it.
So what I would do if I was Sydney is I would let it go and I would move on. You've got the four points.
Oh, yeah, bank them and just move on happily. John, we saw what you said. We can lip read.
Yeah, I think if if Essendon want to be seen to be doing something, that's fine. But if I was the AFL, I'd be tempted to say, you want to please explain? Remember the supplement saga?
Oh, yeah. The other thing is, Duff, I mean, the thing is it was gone in that instant because it's not like Siren Gate where you could revisit the game and say the siren went too early or too late or whatever. This is an instant where you could, if you can't take him back there, Myers back there, put him on the goal line and give him a kick now. So it's gone. It's done.
Yeah, and you can't say that they would have won the match because there's always that small chance that Myers would have missed.
Yeah, from the goal line. Yeah, I don't think so. Although these days, possibly these days, because they're not great goal kickers. Maybe your boys might miss it. Freo.
Yeah, well, my boys sometimes wouldn't hit sand if they fell off a camel. Mm. So, all right, so let's move on to round nine. It starts tomorrow night at Optus Stadium and West Coast versus Melbourne, the rematch of the preliminary final.
The horror show.
And I think it might be
another horror show.
Yeah. Well, is West Coast playing well enough to do that? Is Melbourne playing well enough to stop them from doing that? The two big questions we'll see answered tomorrow night, really.
Well, I think the key here will be the midfield battle. And I think we've seen Oliver really return to some of his great form. 38 possessions last week, 15 tackles he laid. He's back to his very best form. Probably see a bigger body on him, someone like a Yo, but the midfield's the key. Look, it was a horror show last year in the preliminary final. It was the game that many people thought where the rot started to settle for Melbourne. It was where the soft underbelly was shown. So I think they'll be coming over here with a point to prove, but I've seen nothing in the last couple of weeks in their last couple of victories against sides that are very gettable to suggest that this is a powerful side that can come over here and beat West Coast and Optus. I don't think they'll get close.
So we're agreed on the notion that they can't come and win. Can they compete?
Well, they can. Again, they can compete, I think, maybe for two and a half quarters, and I think that's about where it will end. Be interesting to see what they do at the selection table. Do they go with a Preuss, I think, who's returning to match up with Gorm? We saw what happened last year when Gorm was a basically tagged out of the game by West Coast. He's started to, again, return to his very best form, so he'll be another key. I think they'll be competitive up to a point. It won't be an embarrassment like last year, but I don't expect them to get within 5 goals of this West Coast side, who are just starting to... they've done enough to still be in the hunt, very much be in the mix of that for that top four. They're just starting to just show glimpses of their best.
If I'm Melbourne, I'm bringing Preuss. And the reason I'm bringing Preuss is it's going to make West Coast do something a little bit different with their rucks. Preuss is a bit of a brute.
He is.
If I'm West Coast, I don't want Oscar Allen rucking against Braden Preuss. So that will mean West Coast will be forced back to the two ruck.
Yep.
And then they'll have to think about what they do with their forwards. And it makes them jiggle and juggle a little bit. So,
well, there is going to be one inclusion in that forward line by the sounds of things, Duff.
Little Willie.
Little Willie. It's great to see him back, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of West Coast fans looking forward to seeing Willie Rioli run around.
He was in really good form earlier in the year, too. So yeah. Let's hope he doesn't take too long to get back to that form. We love seeing him at his best.
He did add a little bit of condition in his time away. I saw him at training.
Yep.
I think it was about a week and a half ago, and he wasn't quite as slim and svelte as he was in the run.
I don't think
it
takes much for him to get out of condition.
Yeah,
Duff.
Some people just have to look at food and their shape changes, and I think Willie may be one of those people.
A couple of mirrors in this room, I think, Duff, too, for
us. Oh, yeah, no, there's no mirrors in this room, Glenn, you know that. And I've banned all mirrors from the house as well. All right, so we're tipping West Coast. What's the margin?
I think 5 goals. I'm going to be nice to Melbourne and say 5 goals, and I think that's being nice to them. I've seen nothing in the last fortnight to make me think otherwise.
Yeah, I think you're about right. Moving on to Saturday, Collingwood versus St Kilda at the MCG.
3 in a row they've lost St Kilda. They've gone back to the pack a little bit. Now, we did see a sluggish Collingwood, or did we see a up-and-about Carlton? That's the key to last week. I think we saw...
Probably a bit of both.
Yeah, probably a bit of both. I would not expect... the only question mark on this game, and I don't think there are too many, it's a tiny question mark. I think DeGoey's a little 50-50. I think he's got some shin soreness, may not see him play. But St Kilda will look at how Carlton got on top of the stoppages. That's what they'll look at. But whether they're able to execute or not is another thing altogether. I think this is a pretty comfortable win to Collingwood.
Yeah, you'd probably have some hope for St Kilda if it was at Marvel Stadium, but at the MCG, wider open spaces, that makes it more difficult for St Kilda to exercise that pressure brand of footy, which they've been struggling to get enough pressure on teams anyway. They couldn't get enough pressure on West Coast last week. I think Collingwood handles them by 4 to 5 goals.
Brisbane v Adelaide at the Gabba. Thought long and hard about this one, Duff. I'm going with Brisbane. I'm going to struggle to pick against them at the Gabatoir. I'm not sure if it's a Gabatoir again yet, but it's approaching it. They do look comfortable at their home ground, but Adelaide, 3 in a row, a different looking side now, more of a defensive side than an offensive side. I'm going to pick Brisbane. I think they've got enough across the board to win this. But this is going to be a really close game.
I reckon this is one of those games where you get a measure on Adelaide. Because I think if Adelaide's a team that is top four as opposed to top eight, I think if Adelaide's top eight, Brisbane can win this. If Adelaide's top four, they go to Brisbane and they beat the Lions at the Gabba. So
This sort of suits Adelaide a little bit this game, because if you get the contested ball, you get Brisbane. And I think one of the keys here will be Lynch. I think Lynch is so important to that Adelaide side, his connection with the forward line. So who do they look to combat Lynch? Someone like a Gardner. I'm not sure what they do there, but he's the key to this game.
I'm leaning towards Adelaide in this game, because I think what we've seen from Adelaide in the last fortnight, they've become very dour and very elite defensively. And I think that could just nut the younger Lions midfielders and the younger Lions forwards. So
Keith's playing pretty good footy too, isn't he? 28, he's leading the league in intercept marks now.
Well, I reckon a couple of additions, quarters. Keith obviously has been around for a few games now, but he's transformed their defence. It basically means they don't miss Duday and they don't miss Jake Lever anymore. And I think at the other end, I think Himmelberg has been a really valuable...
See a bit of
member of their attack.
Bit of cackle about Josh Jenkins during the week too. Hasn't played for 3 weeks, and obviously Adelaide's form has turned around in that time. That he might be on the trade table. A couple of teams rumoured to be interested, including my boys, the Hawks, which would make a bit of sense.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, it would. I think so. We need forwards.
Yeah, look.
I know you're not a big fan. I'm not his biggest fan either, Josh, but I think sometimes a change of environment is good for a player.
At his best, I think Josh Jenkins is a valuable player. He's big and he's mobile. He's a good finisher, but he almost has to be coaxed to his best all the time, and those guys get to be hard work after a while.
Yeah, I'll say one thing for Josh Jenkins. He's not one to shy from the media or a comment. I don't think this is a bad thing in his instant because he's not hiding behind his lack of game time or poor form. He's out there talking about it. So I think full credit to him for that.
So you're Brisbane, I'm Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm not by much though. I'm saying a kick.
Yeah, I'm saying under 20 points. I think the Crows can get it done, but not with an overwhelming amount of confidence. Moving on to Geelong versus the Western Bulldogs at GMHBA Stadium, which is also known as Cadinia Park.
It is.
Of course.
I'm picking Geelong because it's at GMHBA, but I reckon they're just about due. North Melbourne ran them pretty close last week, if not for some brilliance from Little Gaz at the death. And there were only a couple of kicks out of it, North. And I think Geelong just looks, it's hard to be up and about at that level for a lengthy period of time. I just reckon Geelong's just showing a few little cracks. But I don't think it'll happen at home. I think it's a 6-goal head start for them at that venue. I'm picking Geelong, but I reckon it'll be about 4 goals because I reckon this Western Bulldogs side is starting to produce the consistency we saw a couple of years ago.
Some knee surgery for Sam Menegola as well.
About a month. He's going to be out for about a month.
For about a month.
One of the keys to this game, we've seen it's a pretty good, deep Western Bulldogs midfield, as it is at Geelong. The key will be the contested ball. If Geelong can match them, then I think they'll be able to get away with the game on the outside. Guthrie's been their go-to player to lock, so he may go to Bontempelli, who's in scintillating form. Bontempelli would be right up there in the Brownlow calculations. I think Geelong by about 4 goals.
It'll be worth going a fair distance to see the midfield battle, I reckon, because the Dogs are an A-grade engine room, aren't they? And
yep.
And it's just a case of whether they've got enough at either end. Big challenge for Aaron Norton again. He plays on probably Mark Blitzarves.
Yeah, who's and you've got Stewart and Kolodashny down there too. It's going to be tough in that Bulldogs forward line. Little sub-story to this one too. Of course, Dalhouse playing for the first time against his old team, his old premiership teammates.
Yeah, he's been a really important player for Geelong quarters.
Tackling machine.
And that has transformed Geelong's forward line, I think. They're a completely different style of team now, and that is largely down to the likes of Dalhouse.
And I think with him adding that element, it's brought other players into the game, and we've seen Gaz playing more as a forward now, and I think his form is as best we've seen in a couple of years. So he's brought other players into it.
Yep, and regardless of all the controversy around Gaz over the past 2 weeks, he certainly still can play. Great to see him embrace that. That half-forward role, I think that he can be an absolute top-shelf contributor to the Cats premiership bid here in
that
role.
I didn't think I'd be saying that at the start of the year, to be quite frank, but well done him, even though he shouldn't be playing this week.
So Geelong by?
I'd say by about 4 goals.
Yeah, I'm thinking about 20 points. I think the Dogs will compete very strongly, but I'm not sure they have the quite got the firepower just yet to get over the line.
Your boys, Duff, Essendon v Freo at Marvel Stadium. It's very tempting to pick Freo, but I'm not going to.
Tell me why you're tempted.
I don't have that much trust in Essendon at the moment, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
There's no connection midfield forwards. There's a trust issue with me and Essendon at the moment. I have more trust in Freo. I think the last... They haven't been too far away. I mean, even last week against Richmond, Richmond's a bloody good side, Duff, and I don't think Freo was that far off the mark. The week before was just...
They're about 10 minutes off the mark.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes.
This is Richmond we're talking about, so this is a really good side. That's why I'm tempted, and I still love the Freo defence. Still building a little in other areas. Certainly the forward line's still a work in progress. I'm going to pick Essendon. Key to this game is Tipham Woody. If you look at their form lines, when they win, he blitzes. When they lose, has not scored a goal in any of their losses this year.
So if you're Fremantle...
He's the barometer of Essendon.
Who's the player that goes to Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody?
Jeez, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody. Well, perhaps you go with a Niehaus type?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I was thinking the same player. Yeah. Nathan Wilson would have the speed to go with him, but he's not really a lockdown player.
He's a funny player, Tip and Woody. I think from watching from where our privileged seat, he looks easier to play on than I think he actually is, if that makes any sense.
And where... Yeah,
very tough opponent.
Where are we at with the pronunciation of Orazio's surname?
I can tell you where we're at. No, I know where we're at. He is, I think, in Italia... It is Fantasia.
Fantasia.
But he's actually likes to refer to himself as Fantasia. So BT was right.
He likes the way BT says it.
Orazio.
Orazio Fantasia.
So let's stick with Fantasia.
I'm a little bit like you. I think Fremantle can give a hell of a yelp in this game. I think Ross Lyon, some coaches match up against other coaches. I think Ross Lyon coaches well against John Worsfold.
I think Ross Lyon coaches well against anyone.
For whatever reason. And I get the feeling that he will try and nut one of their gun mids. So either Merritt or Shield is going to get a heavy tag. And I think he'll try and nut their running defenders. So I think you'll see a lot of pressure put on, not necessarily defensive forwards, but I think you'll see a lot of pressure applied to Connor McKenna and Adam Saad to try and bring... their want to take on the game and go quickly to try and bring that unstuck. I think over there, Essendon is the percentage tip, but I would not be... I think the game will be very, very close, and I would not be in the least bit surprised if Freo tipped them over. For heaven's sake, Fremantle, Connor Blakely plays this week. I think they left him out a week too long. Yep. I don't think it cost them the points against Richmond because they had, you know, half a dozen players who didn't turn up until the 10-minute mark of the first quarter last week against the Tigers, but Connor Blakely is in your best 22. He has to play this weekend.
I think Ross Lyon's basically said that much, hasn't
he? Yeah, not quite.
Oh, I reckon he just about has.
Not quite, but I think, you know, unless Connor Blakely has twanged a hammy at training today, and I was down there for the first half of the session, and certainly there was no drama in that part of it, then I think Connor Blakely has to be running around against the Dons.
Kangaroos v Sydney down in Hobart. Now, people are talking Sydney up in this game. I don't know why, Duff, because, they've done nothing to prove to me, certainly not in last week's win, in inverted commas. No Buddy again, so that's concerning for them. Kangaroos, as I said earlier, it was a good loss to the Cats, but they're 14-4 in Hobart. They love playing down there. The ground suits them. They love it. I'm confidently picking the Kangaroos to win this game. I think they've turned a bit of a corner. I don't think the corner was one where they were going to see a big open freeway to the finals necessarily, but I think they've turned the corner now. They're going to be a much more competitive side, and they should win games like this.
Yeah, I agree. I think their record in Hobart is very good. It'll just be a nice, balmy Saturday May evening in Hobart too, won't it?
Beautiful spot, mate.
Everyone will be walking around in their singlets.
Oh, it's lovely. You know, I was walking down the main street of Hobart once, being a Melbourne boy, and it was cold. And I had a jumper on. And one of the locals walked past me and said, "Hot enough for you?" And I said, "No, it's not. It's why I'm wearing a jumper. It's not hot." It is a beautiful spot to all our friends from Tasmania. It is a beautiful spot, though.
I have a similar story to that, but it was in Canberra. Oh, not yeah. Hobart.
That is cold.
Our place. Friend and colleague, Digby Beecham, and I had covered a Fremantle North Melbourne game at Marnica, and we were walking into the Marnica strip to get something to eat and have a few drinks of an evening. And once the sun goes down in Canberra...
A lot of stuff happens.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that sort of stuff. It gets so cold, you can see the air you're breathing out. And so we were wandering along. We had about four layers of clothing on each, I reckon. And I reckon we were both freezing. And we walked past a guy's yard, and he was in the backyard with a T-shirt on, cooking a barbie with a can of VB in his hand.
Bless him. Of course he was.
And we knew we were from out of town at that particular point.
Did he invite you in?
If we were moving very quickly to try and get inside a bar, not be outside in the cold night air. So how much North Melbourne by?
I think they win this by 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah, I reckon about the same. I think that I did like Luke Parker's game last week. I think if you're looking for something to recommend Sydney in this game, the fact that Luke Parker was back to the Luke Parker we know and trust,
yes,
with 33 disposals, a lot of tough work, a lot of heavy body work around the stoppages, and gave Sydney an ascendancy in that area of the game. But
well, a lot's going to fall. Also, it's a young side and it's a young forward line, and a lot's going to fall on, you know, in the hands of like a Dawson, a Haywood, a Blakey. Sam Reed's important if he gets up. I think he's going to play. There were some question marks over him, but without Buddy down there, I just find it hard to see them kicking the goals to win this game.
So let's move on to Sunday's games. Port Adelaide versus Gold Coast at Adelaide Oval.
Well, I know the sort of game Gold Coast would love is a scrap, because that's what they like to do. And if it is a scrap, then they're in with a chance. But I would assume that Port Adelaide, they can't afford to lose this. They're 4-4. They've won their past 9 against the Gold Coast by an average of 44. So I think their record's good against them. They'll be confident. One thing they do have to do is kick straight, because their conversion rate last week was really, really bad. I had a great last quarter where they nearly stole the showdown. But look, I think I have enough confidence in Port Adelaide to win this game by quite comfortably. Ryder v Witts will be the matchup for me in this game. Both playing well. I think Witts is a greatly underrated player.
Yeah, no, he's a really good player. He's an absolute man mountain, which means he generally gets first hands on the ball at the stoppages. And I think he enables the Gold Coast midfield, which, let's face it, at this stage is very much a midfield in development. He enables them to get on the front foot and play with a fair degree of assertiveness. And I think that's pretty important to the way they play. I'm going to tip Port Adelaide by, I reckon, 5 or 6 goals in this one. But Gold Coast they've certainly not disgraced themselves this year. And hopefully this is another game where they can walk off and say, well, we found something to be positive about today rather than a smashing.
Well, the 3 wins they've had this year, they've kicked 61, 73 and 59. So
that's the sort of game they're going to want.
That's the sort of game they're going to want. In the Jack Homsch Cup, Duff, of course, playing against his old side, Port Adelaide, for the first time.
There's also the Jack Homsch Cup when they play against GWS as well.
Yeah, it's remarkable, the players who emanated at GWS and we forget about them. Richmond v Hawthorn at the MCG. A lot of people climbing on the Hawthorn bandwagon. I've been on it for 40, 50, 53 years, to be frank.
So where's your seat at the moment?
My seat right at the moment is not with Hawthorn this Sunday. I think Richmond, what worries me, well, thankfully, Frawley wasn't rubbed out, because if he was rubbed out, I had grave fears for that Hawthorn defence. Without Frawley, looks really, really vulnerable. He'll get Tom Lynch, who was last week, form is a lot better. I think 6 contested marks. What worries me about Richmond v Hawthorn in this game, I think it'll be reasonably level for most of the game, is the Richmond small forward line is starting to look like that Richmond small forward line from a couple of years ago, with a couple of fresh faces in there. You know, Shai Bolton, Stack. I think that that's what concerns me if I'm Hawthorn and I'm that defence going into this game. I think Richmond will win this game. It'll be a bit of an arm wrestle for 3 quarters.
Yeah, I give Hawthorn a chance in this game. I'm going to tip Richmond, but I give the Hawks a chance because they're the sort of team that can get the ball off Richmond and keep it off them. And I think that's what you've got to do. It's what
against Richmond, yeah.
I think that's what Collingwood did to them so effectively in round 2. It's just a matter of whether they can manage to do that often enough. I loved what I saw about Richmond last week against Fremantle, but I do think that if the Hawks can play the sort of game they played against GWS last week, there is a chance that they can nut the Tigers a bit.
Everything has to go right, I think, for Hawthorn. I think it's and it's a big if for me. It's been a real roller coaster at the Hawks this year. Looked pretty ordinary the week before and looked really good last week, obviously. Wayne Carey called them the most boring team in the AFL. That's the sort of game it was last week at the MCG against the Giants. I think what Jager O'Meara's comments were, I'm not sure if I agree with that, but if we are, then I'll take that, because we've beaten the Giants, so we'll take that every week.
That's a bit like when one of the English cricketers said that Steve Waugh was wetting himself facing the English pace attack, and Steve Waugh said, "Well, I'll wet myself an average 80 anytime you like."
Yeah. So look, I'm thinking Richmond win this one, but by a couple of kicks.
Yeah, I think 3 goals. I think the Hawks can make a game of this. I think they can make it interesting. Certainly on what we saw from Richmond last week, I think their method is still very much intact, and that tells me that they probably should win this. But
the one area Hawthorn will be able to exploit as well is with Nankervis out now for a bit of a stint.
Yep.
So you'll have Soldo v McAvoy and probably Seglar. So that's an area that Hawthorn can exploit if they're good enough to do it.
I did like what I saw from Noah Bolter last week. I know he's very raw, and I reckon he'll have games where he'll play terribly, but I think that in Noah Bolter, they've got a great athlete, a brute of a man. He'll give them a strong physical presence, and I think that if they have to go to him to be a makeshift ruckman or a makeshift key position player, he won't let them down once he finds his feet in the AFL.
So if he runs in a big, wide semicircle, or if it's very wet, is it Noah's Ark?
Oh.
Always thinking about headline stuff. That's what we do in this game.
Yeah, well, that's what you editors do. And it's always the headline that gets us writers into trouble too. Richmond for me by about 3 goals.
The final game, GWS v Carlton at Giants Stadium. 2 words, good luck. Sorry, 3, good luck Carlton.
Yeah, look, this will be closer than you reckon, I think. I reckon the Giants splutter a little bit. And when they get up and they're on, they're great to watch, but I think that they can have off days still, which bothers me about them.
I'm not sure if they have off days, A, at Giants Stadium, and B, when they've been on the back of what one of their directors described as the worst performance in their history. I thought that was a bit of a stretch from Jimmy Bartel. Oh, it can't be the worst performance in their history. They had some shockers early in their first couple of years.
Well, his point is that in those first couple of years, they were a team of kids very much in development mode. So they were basically, if they won a quarter, and that's how Sheeds actually did it. Sheeds didn't have them in a premiership table in terms of how many games they won. He had a premiership table which showed
quarters,
88 quarters, and how many of
Brendan
them they'd
Bolton
won.
Brendan Bolton did that last week.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of an indictment on the Blues. I'm not sure. Again, I'm concerned about Patrick Cripps, not because he's not playing magnificent football.
There's a lot of
weight on his shoulders, and I'm really worried about the workload on him.
So who needs to, in that Carlton midfield, for you, who needs to step up and take some
Well, the thing is, I think Cripps is probably going to find himself matched against De Boer. So I think this is a big week for Murphy. I'm not doubting his ability in the past, but he has to. This is a 35-plus game from him. He has to step up here for them to be any chance.
Does Murphy still have a game like that in him?
Perhaps not, which is why I have grave doubts about this game.
So what's your margin?
I'm thinking 7 goals.
Yeah, I think it could be, I reckon, 5. I think Carlton can stretch them for a couple of quarters. Maybe there might be one and a half quarters where the Giants kick clear and stay clear, but I'm thinking the Blues can get within 5 kicks.
And let's hope Cameron can. There is some knocks on his shoulders. Well, knocks because he's copping them every week, as he did from Frawley last week, which is what happens. Let's hope he can stay out in the park because we want to see that 100-goal full forward return. So he's on target, but I think there's going to come a stage soon where he might need a bit of a spell because he's clearly playing with some duress.
Now, quarters, usually we start this podcast with a coach's quote. Let's finish it with a coach's story. You have a good one to tell about your favourite coach, Alistair Clarkson.
Well, I was just listening to Bob Murphy actually earlier today, and he was talking about the psychology of coaching. It was an intriguing story. In his early days, he was playing with, obviously on Footscray's list, but playing a lot in the VFL with Werribee, their VFL side. And Alistair Clarkson was the coach. And he said one particular day we were playing North Ballarat, coached by the beautifully named Gerald Fitzgerald.
I remember Gerald Fitzgerald.
Yeah, the North Ballarat coach. Anyway, so Werribee's playing North Ballarat. North Ballarat were the favourites. Clark has come in 10 minutes before the game waving this dossier and said, "I've found it. I've found the dossier from North Ballarat and I'm going to read it to you. It's damning." So he reads through the dossier and it's damning of all the Werribee players. And Bob Murphy's wasn't so bad, but it said, "Kick too much on your left side." And he's sort of thinking, I was only a kid at the time, but I'm thinking that's what everyone at Footscray says to me. And that's what Clark is. Anyway, that's fine. So they went out and smashed North Ballarat, you know, against the flow a bit. And many years later, one of the Werribee players caught up with Gerald Fitzgerald and asked him about the dossier. He said, I've got no idea what you're talking about. Clark has made the whole thing up. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
An AFL coach gilding the lily. Who would have thought?
I love that story.
They are, I mean, come on. They're fonts of the truth.
Yeah.
AFL coaches.
But some of the pre-game tactics you just got to love.
Yeah, and laugh.
There's a book in that.
Oh, hello. There's a library in that.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you tip some winners this weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday to dissect the ramifications of round 9. We're in the sort-out period, I think, of the AFL season. We'll have a much better idea, I think, of the top 8 in about 3 or 4 weeks' time.
And go Perth Glory. Lou, we're talking 50,000-plus Sunday night at Optus Stadium. My tip? They'll win on penalties. There'll be a few heart flutters, but they'll win on penalties. Of course they will, Duff.
There'll be a bit of drama, but yes, you're absolutely right. Go Glory, and let's all of Western Australia get behind them, regardless of what code you support. Thanks for joining us. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Tuesday.